It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Kind of a yucky day. You just kind of get the feeling like fall is really here now. We got so lucky having 80-degree temperatures like late October, early November. But, man, this drizzling crap. I hate this stuff. You get the feeling it's here now, fall and winter. No more good weather. 946-0435, that is our number if you'd like to join me. We talk about the teams that you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm going to do something a little different today. We'll talk a little boxing. That's right, boxing. So I'm not sure we've had any more than one or two boxing segments on the show for the last 15 years, but there's a very interesting fight that's going to take place tonight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTube star. Jake Paul's actually a really good boxer, but he's never faced really a real opponent, you know, a quality opponent. Mike Tyson is 58 years old, once the baddest man on the planet 30-plus years ago. He's actually an underdog in this fight, believe it or not. Jake Paul is favored to beat Mike Tyson. So I'm just curious. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I don't know how many calls we'll get on this, but I want to talk a little bit of boxing. What do you like about boxing? What do you not like about boxing? If you've got a favorite boxing story or memory or bout that you want to bring up, 946-0435. Anybody want to play along? And if you want to give a prediction for the fight tonight, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. Hey, look, I read a story. 91% of all the money bet on this fight, obviously, who do you think it's going to? It's gone to Mike Tyson. 91% of the money that's been bet has going on Mike Tyson. And I think here's the interesting thing to me about Mike Tyson. He was such a bad man, the baddest man on the planet, when he first came upon the scene, just knocking guys out in 20 and 30 seconds, powerful. He's quoted by saying everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And, you know, Mike Tyson was a bad, bad man for a number of years. But then it really kind of got away from Mike Tyson a little bit. And so we remember, those of you who are my age or so, we remember how bad of a man Mike Tyson was, okay? But he really wasn't that great of a fighter later on in his career. His career record is 50-6, so he's lost six times. Could he possibly get beaten by a YouTuber tonight? It's fascinating. 946-0435. Bigger picture thing, though. We love boxing movies in this country. Raging Bull, considered a classic. Cinderella Man, somebody called in a few weeks ago praising Cinderella Man. Obviously, the Rocky movies. Boxing movies have so... I've not seen any of the Creed movies. I watched all the Rocky, the first five Rocky movies, and then I did not follow the rest of the Rocky story with Apollo Creed's kid. I've not watched any of those movies. But boxing movies... I don't know what it is about our society that we love boxing movies. There have been a lot of them made. A lot of them are really good. I think most boxing movies are actually pretty bad because they're not in any way realistic. Rocky is in no way realistic. Real boxing, if you get hit one or two times, you're going down. Rocky would get hit in the head 25-30 consecutive times. I mean, Drago killed Apollo Creed in the ring. In real life, Drago would have killed Rocky. I mean, it was ridiculous how many just pummel shots Rocky took to the head. Like, they in these boxing films, do they teach you to defend yourself at all? So I've never, while I've watched a lot of boxing movies, I've never been a huge, huge fan of boxing movies, simply because I think they're about as unrealistic as it gets. We'll go to Jerry in Bellwood. Jerry, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Good. We'll talk about traumatic brain syndrome.
Yeah, you know, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest, I like boxing movies, but I agree with you. They're very unrealistic. Raging Bull might not have been. I mean, Raging Bull was a good
movie. Yep, good movie.
But, you know, I think Tyson's going to get killed. I mean, there's just no way he's going to win. When you said that the most of the money's going on Tyson, but that doesn't mean the odds are in Tyson's favor.
No,
right?
It's right now, as I looked a little while ago, Tyson is plus 175, meaning if you bet 100, you get 175. Jake Paul, last I looked, was minus 210. So if you bet $100, if you bet $210, you get $100. So, but Jake Paul, that's not a big favorite, but it's also not a pick 'em kind of thing. In football terms, that would be the equivalent of about a 3 or 4 point line.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet, but I would not be betting on Tyson. I mean, he's 58 years old. I mean, Tyson isn't a boxer; he's a fighter.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, if he didn't knock guys out quickly, he was in trouble.
No.
You know, he couldn't go very many rounds, and he knew it. And that was really his demise, because at one point he was like, you know, no one thought he'd ever lose. But it was because he knocked people out quickly. But
right.
When he didn't knock people out quickly, that was it.
Does it taint? Because you're absolutely right. But Mike Tyson was never a great boxer. Lennox Lewis was a great boxer. I mean,
yeah.
Lennox Lewis was a great, great tactician, boxer. Sugar Ray Leonard, obviously, going back in the day. Does it taint Mike Tyson's image, what we're talking about right now? Because we all remember, you're a little older than me, but I'm sure you remember when Tyson came upon the scene, it's like, this is the baddest man who ever lived. Well,
absolutely,
for 2 or 3 minutes he is, but if you get past that, now there's a different story.
Yeah, I think he was a great fighter, and I don't think it diminishes him at all, because the force that he hit somebody with, you know, must have been something that probably would kill us. The thing that I think is amazing is that how boxing anymore is no big deal. I remember growing up, and mm-hmm. you know, when I was first married and stuff, boxing was a big deal. You know, especially the heavyweight division. Then when you had, I think Sugar Ray Leonard was middleweight or welterweight. I always got them mixed up. But, I mean, you had some great, great boxers, Roberto Duran. I mean, but nowadays, I don't think I could name a boxer.
It's interesting because the UFC, mixed martial arts UFC, that's taken over. The boxing industry has been really corrupt for a long, long time. UFC seems to be more on the up and up, although it's controlled really kind of by one guy, Dana White. But UFC is so much more of the kind of national discussion nowadays. And you're right, we don't gravitate toward boxing as much. But then when something like this comes around, I'm sure the pay-per-view for this is going to be astronomical.
Yeah, you know, there's just no personalities in boxing. I mean, there was no greater, in my opinion, boxer than Muhammad Ali, and also no greater promoter, no greater personality than Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
and
yep.
He made some of those other guys noteworthy as far as their personalities, because it was almost like you either hated Ali or you loved him. You know, and one of the great things about Ali is he would predict, you know, when he was going to win. And so many times, you know, especially in his early career, he was right. And he was just so so interesting, but there isn't anybody like that. Well, there never will be anybody exactly like that, but there's not even anybody close to that.
So you're saying Jake Paul, does he knock him out? Does Tyson get knocked out?
I think he gets knocked out, and if he doesn't get knocked out, I'm afraid that he might have some kind of brain injury or something and really screw himself up. I you know, a 58-year-old man going in against, how old is this guy, 25, 30?
I want to say Jake Paul is about 27. I'll double-check that, but somewhere around 27.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to end well.
Yeah,
and I hope he makes it through without any permanent damage.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Appreciate it. 9460435. I had Dave in Hollidaysburg on hold for a long time. Dave, I was literally just about to get to you, so if you want to call back. Robin Bedford, huge boxing fan. I texted Rob about an hour ago, said, we're going to talk some boxing on the show today, man. He's like, nice. What do you got, dude?
Hell yeah. You tell me, whatever direction you want to go. I wish you did this more often, and it's probably about the fifth or sixth time in 15 years that you've done this.
Does Tyson have any shot? I mean, like, does he have to knock him out in the first or second round? Is that his only shot here?
It's a high percentage, his only shot. And if we reround it to 1996 Mike Tyson, I would say the exact same thing. Endurance and stamina have never been his best friend. This guy is an absolute monster. He goes in there to get you out of there before you even get your beer and popcorn. He doesn't have the legs or the conditioning, especially a man approaching 60. Just wrap your mind around that for a minute. This is a professional fight that is sanctioned, a professional record blemishing fight by the Texas State Athletic Commission. I'm sure they're holding their breath.
It took some time to get this sanctioned, though, right, Rob? I mean, wasn't there a lot of hemming and hawing? And I know they've got some special rules in place for this fight, but was there an issue even just to get this fight on?
Well, that's where corruption in general really gravitates towards boxing. And I'm not saying that this was a corrupt process, but it seems corrupt when you can kind of tailor roles through negotiations, through practically every fight. And that, along with very incompetent judging, is where boxing gets its black eye. But yes, this is a older gentleman. There was concerns about his heart. There were several different dates that this fight was supposed to take place several months ago. And I'm kind of surprised. There's a million ways for a fight to fall apart. And I'm talking guys in their prime with high stakes and big loads of money on the line. Fights get canceled and pulled left and right. This one, however, this is 8 rounds. Title fights are 12. A lot of other fights are 12 as well, but usually 10 is what you'll see on a pay-per-view card with experienced fighters. You'll see 4 and 6 rounds with newbies, just kind of time fillers. But they're going to wear 16-ounce gloves, I believe, instead of the standard maybe 10-ounce for heavyweight. But that's something that gets negotiated a lot of times through each fight. And that's what makes people scratch their head, like, well, why are they doing this for this fight, not for that? So it's the opposite from surprising that there was conditions and some rule changes, especially with the times. Women's boxing is 2 minutes per round.
Yeah, 2 minutes per round. There's 8 rounds. 2 minutes per round. I got to think that benefits Tyson.
Absolutely. The shorter this fight is, it benefits Tyson.
Well, but the shorter the rounds. Let me say this about boxing. What I know about boxing, I've known some boxers, it is an you have to be in unbelievably phenomenal shape to be a boxer. I want to get my son into boxing a little bit, not so much to fight, but just to train on the punching bag, on all that stuff, because you're working every muscle in your body. You have to have unbelievable stamina. And I'm saying unbelievable stamina to get through like 1 3-minute round. We watch this stuff on TV and are like, you know, what's going on here? But that's why I think, you know, maybe this could benefit Tyson with a 2-minute round. I give him like 3 rounds. If he can knock out Jake Paul in the first 3 rounds, that's his shot. Beyond that, I think Tyson's going to be just washed.
I would probably divide in half your projection, possibly cut that in half.
1.5 rounds.
Possibly. And this was in his prime. He would go to the, he would be going to the well of desperation. The fights, he has 6 losses. 5 of them were stoppages because he just can't make it that far. His last professional fight, I remember buying it. It was been, check if you have in front of you, I believe it was the summer of 05. His last 2 professional fights were against guys that had no business posing for a photo with him, let alone sharing a ring. And they both disposed of him. And Tyson went out. He was 38 at the time. And he went out headhunting, and he did do some damage. But this was a guy in his upper 30s, not in his late teens, early 20s, where he – the reason why he is able to step in this ring right now is because the final thing to go in a fighter is the power. And it doesn't necessarily ever have to go, as Tyson is proving right now. But every other component goes, and it goes overnight. Boxing is a sport that one of the taglines is you age overnight, because there's months generally involved between, you know, bouts. And there's a long time in that. And you only saw him in June. Now I'm seeing him in December, and they're totally shot gone. And a lot of times that stems from a first loss. They become hesitant. Tyson's been knocked out several times. Evander Holyfield laid a beating on him the first time they fought. Look what Tyson did. He was biting, nut punching, everything but the second round on, because he knew he was not going to win that fight. Tyson will look to get you out of there in brutal fashion, and that's, don't miss the first round. That is where it's going to be. You're going to see Tyson hugging and holding. And I don't know, he might get dirty, even in his upper ages. He's a proud man sharing a ring with a freaking YouTuber.
He already,
you think he wants to get embarrassed?
No, he already slapped the guy yesterday. Oh, my God. So what's your pick? If you're putting $100 on this, are we going Jake Paul or what?
I'm going to get caught in my youth. I played Punch-Out on NES for years. This guy is one of the last things that's still happening from my childhood once upon a time. Give me Tyson in the first round. Let's put $200 on it.
All right. Good stuff, man. I love it. Punch-Out. That's great. Who didn't play Punch-Out on Nintendo 30-something years ago? Welcome to the show. Hey, Dave and Altoona, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you doing, Corey?
All right, buddy. What's up?
Well, I wanted to comment on the fight question. I thought it was interesting, and I'm not even a huge fight fan, but obviously you kind of caught me with the movie topic. It was kind of interesting.
Okay.
So my favorite fight movie is a documentary, When We Were Kings, Ali Foreman.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
You gotta watch it. Gotta watch it.
I'm Googling it here. It looks like it. How long ago was it?
You're talking
96 is what I'm showing here. 96.
Yeah, but the fight was obviously in the 70s.
Right. You know, the documentary is in 96. And it's pretty good?
Oh, it's awesome.
This is awesome. About the Rumble in the Jungle.
It's Ali, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman. And George Foreman was the champion. Ali had lost the title, and George Foreman was a champion. Ali had previously lost the title to Frazier, I think, but I'm not 100% on that. And the documentary is about how the fight came about, and it was in, I can't remember what country, one of the African countries, though, obviously.
Zaire, I believe. Zaire, yep.
Yeah, there you go. And it's incredibly interesting. It has some reporters that comment on it. There's interviews. It shows a lot of the fight, a lot of the key parts of the fight.
You know what's great here? You know what's great here, Dave, is we remember baseball from our youth. It was such a big part of our youth. We remember the statistics and the games and all that stuff. Boxing is one of those things as well. I remember boxing from my youth. You're talking about boxing from your youth. Mike Tyson.
Absolutely.
We want to hold on to this shred of, is Mike Tyson still a bad, bad man?
The shred of hope that Tyson can still punch his way out of it.
But know? I know nothing about boxing today. Do you?
Very little.
So
very
that's
little.
That's the thing.
I think
it's one of those sports that we cling to the names and the fights and the memories back during a different era. when it meant significantly more to us in our lives than it really does now.
Absolutely. Like, even if you look at the political environment back in the 70s, you know, we were still coming off of Vietnam or still involved in Vietnam. And during a lot of those fights, Ali was recognized as an activist. So it was huge when he fought.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, I believe, was named the sportsman of the century by a lot of outlets. That, not just as a boxer, but as an activist, everything that he did, you know, from a societal standpoint.
Absolutely. And if you watch, you got to watch When We Were Kings. And if you watch it, in my opinion, again, I'm not a huge fight fan. I don't sit and watch new boxing, recent boxing. But it's the most cerebral fight I've ever seen. Ali was supposed to lose. Foreman was younger, bigger, stronger, was the champion. Ali was supposed to lose. Everyone thought he was going to lose, and he won. And it was because he was smarter. He was a more cerebral boxer, and Foreman was more the Tyson
power guy. He was going to come in and try to head
power puncher, yep. Taking big windmill swings.
Yep.
And if you watch some of the shots that he laid on Ali, you'll wonder how he made it.
Yep. Wait, that's what that's...
I don't believe Ali went down in that fight. I think nobody went down till the end when Ali knocked Foreman out.
That's what we love, is those haymakers and everything. Dave, great stuff. When We Were Kings, I'll jot that down here. I appreciate it, buddy.
And I'll take Paul. The only chance Tyson has is in the first two rounds.
Very good. Good stuff. I'm going Paul here as well. I think Paul is going to try to avoid Tyson in the first couple of rounds. He's going to dance around and avoid, you know, getting in there and actually getting knocked out. All right, caller number two. Hey, you've been listening a long time. I've probably only done a handful of boxing discussions on the show. So you have free reign to add whatever context you want in any way.
Well, Corey, I'm old enough that I'm sitting with my grandfather, and he was a big boxing fan, and there was this young boxer. I had no idea what was going on. He said, watch this guy, and he said, that guy is going to be a world champ. And it was Ali as a young man. I think he was just an amateur. That's how old I am.
Do you know anything about boxing today?
No, you don't hear a word. And I like boxing so much better than MMA. MMA, they trip each other, and then they are on the ground punching each other.
Exactly. But that's my point of our older generations. We remember, we have such nostalgia for all of these boxing discussions, don't we? We have such nostalgia for these old movies, Rocky, Raging Bull, these kinds of things. But yet, boxing is not part of our mainstream sports society any longer like UFC is.
Yeah, wasn't it called the most beautiful sport? It was called something.
Isn't it the sport of kings, or is that horse racing?
That might be. The fellow before, though, Ali won that fight because he used rope-a-dope.
Yeah, exactly.
He wore Foreman out. He kept going back and taking everything Foreman had, and his arms were so big that by the later rounds he couldn't even box. He was just done.
Yeah, and I was wrong. It was horse racing is the sport of kings. But that's the thing about boxing is, if you can survive, again, this is the Mike Tyson legacy. I can't even play it, but Mike Tyson did this is hilarious, folks. If you're out there and you have access to like Twitter or social media or whatever, Mike Tyson did an interview with a teenage girl a day or two ago, a young teenage girl, and she asked him about his legacy. And I can't even play it because he uses an F-bomb. He starts going into crazy stuff like, there is no legacy. When you're dead, you're dead. What difference does it make? When you're dead, you're gone. Doesn't matter if anybody likes you or not. You're gone. You're effing dead. You're gone. Doesn't matter. And so, this is a question for like a 15-year-old girl. Okay, so Mike Tyson. It just goes kind of bonkers on this. He's just a weird dude, man. But you know what? Here's the thing. Did you see The Hangover, the original Hangover movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That brought Mike Tyson back. Mike Tyson was, he was kind of gone. He was gone in our society for a long, and then all of a sudden, like, the dudes in The Hangover, they steal his tiger, and he punches, like, Zach Galifianakis, and Ed Helms, I can't remember who he punches, and all of a sudden, in the last 15 years, Mike Tyson's become, like, this national treasure kind of dude. How bizarre is that?
Yeah, well, it's like George Foreman's in a little church somewhere, and somebody says, "Do you want to come back and box?" And he becomes a hero and does the Mr. Hamburger thing and all that.
Hey, I use my George Foreman grill. We use the George Foreman grill all the time. That's one of the greatest inventions. That's one of the greatest marketing tools for any athlete ever. I believe the number I read was it made Foreman like $80 million.
Yeah, he was so much smarter than anyone thought when he lost to Ali. You thought that was the end of it. Hey, let me give you my pick, though, because I know other people want to get on.
I think
Tyson, if he still has his punch, it'll be over in two rounds, or it won't be, and I don't think he'll hold up. But the weight of the gloves is a key. Tyson needed the official gloves to knock him out. This guy may survive the punches because it's like hitting him with a pillow.
So 14-ounce gloves are softer, right?
Yeah, yep. They're softer, and Tyson's not going to have as much impact, and this guy's pretty big. So I'll say Tyson if he gets him in the first two or three rounds, and then he's probably going to get worn out.
All right, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate it, man. I'm going to take one more. We got Dave in Hollidaysburg. Appreciate you calling back, Dave. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Corey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What are you thinking about this fight tonight, brother?
Well, it's that automobile accident you can't turn your face away from
exactly
when you're
right.
driving down the highway.
Yep, yep.
I mean, it has no real significance other than the fact the other guy wouldn't even matter what his name is. It's all about Mike Tyson at 58. Now, I will agree with your last caller. If Mike Tyson, because Mike Tyson was a fairly decent fighter. I'm old enough to remember seeing some of his fights, but he had that punching power. And I analogize it to George Foreman when George Foreman came back. You look at George Foreman when he came back, he wasn't exactly a Adonis of shape,
nope.
but he had punching power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Tyson can get two shots in on this guy, he may knock him out. If he doesn't knock him out within the first two rounds, and I agree, it's Jake, whatever the guy's last name is, and I can't remember now, it's probably his fight to take. But I also wanted to comment. I think the other thing that made boxing so relevant way back was, one, we didn't have quite the number of other sports available through
yes.
social media or all the other types of, viewing avenues you have now, and you also have the NFL on Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. My point being is when boxing was king, if you want to call it king, it was also not there weren't as many other sports available to view, plus the fact that it was televised. I remember watching on Saturday afternoons.
Yep, that's right, yep.
And then the other thing that also made it popular, and if you go back to the Ali Frazier fights, was Howard Cosell, because he was a huge boxing fan. He was a huge Muhammad Ali fan. And with all due respect to any of your callers, when Muhammad Ali made that change from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, he was not very popular because he was going against the mainstream media in terms of the Vietnam War
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helped contribute to, because Howard Cosell was a nationally known, I mean, Monday Night Football was the thing at
there
that
was,
point.
There was more to it than just the boxing with Ali, the cultural significance, Howard Cosell. You mentioned a great component about not everything was on TV back then, so we didn't have all these things to occupy our time. So if you fought once or twice a year, this was the biggest thing of the year.
Well, yeah, and the papers were covering. The other thing was, I think people got into boxing because basically it was free of charge. You didn't have to pay for it back then, and you had people like the people coming from the U.S. Olympic team, which was a huge issue in terms of boxing because we were very successful in the Olympics with boxing. So you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, George Foreman, all those names were already well known when they went pro. So people, you know, hooked into them or enjoyed them or, you know, identified or whatever the case may be. And when they came over into the pro world, you know, pro boxing, there were people that people knew, the names they knew, and they carried it over from when they were in the Olympic Games.
Great stuff. So who are you taking to win?
I am going to take, I'm going to take the Jake Paul. Who is it?
Jake Paul, yep.
Jake Paul, if it goes more than two rounds. I think Tyson's going to have, as George Foreman did, a puncher's chance.
There you go. Good
stuff. If he doesn't connect with two punches and knock this guy out, then I think being 58, it's a different animal at that point. And I just think your endurance, your legs, and everything starts to get out.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, Dave. I did find this. This is pretty fascinating. Mike Tyson's net worth is $10 million. A lot of you don't necessarily know who Jake Paul is. He's a YouTuber. He's one of the founders of the Prime Sports Drink. Kids love Prime Sports Drink. So Mike Tyson's worth $10 million. Jake Paul is worth $80 million. How's that for some crazy perspective?
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for Watch and Tab. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you, all of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner, so he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
All right, I did want to mention this during our boxing discussion. By the way, a lot of great calls. That's fantastic. I love that we tackle a different subject and a lot of people call in. You want to talk some boxing, 946-0435. The Rocky movies, Adrian, man, has there ever been a less supportive character in the history of movies than Adrian. Oh my God, she's completely unbearable. Talia Shire is a good actress. Did The Godfather? Was Adrian in the Rocky movies? She never ever. What a complete and total nag! She nagged him all the time. She brought him down. She was such a Debbie Downer. Adrian is one of the worst movie characters ever. And yet Rocky loves, yo, Adrian, I did it. Well, no thanks to you, you witch. You didn't help at all. All you did was nag the guy all the friggin' time. Yo, Adrian, you suck. How about that? We want a divorce. Oh, man, she was awful, awful. We got Andy on the line. Andy, appreciate your patience. We've been talking boxing a lot today, Andy. You want to talk some basketball? What do you got? Andy, you're with me, buddy. Go ahead. Andy, you there, pal? I lost Andy. Call me back if you can. We got Dan. Dan wants to talk some boxing. What's up, Dan?
Well, Corey, this goes back when I was just a kid, probably 12 years old. And we were the first house in the neighborhood to have cable TV.
Well, hey, Dan, real quick, stop. Hang on, just one second. Turn the radio down in the background. I'm getting, like, a lot of feedback and stuff. So I'll give you a second to just go turn that down real quick and then come back, tell me the story.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right. We're the first house in the neighborhood to have cable TV and everything. And Pabst Blue Living was the sponsor. And we would clear the living room and the house, clear the living room and everything. And there was at least 20, 25 people was packed.
Yep.
And they'd bring folding chairs and everything. And everything. That was Pat Fu Ribbon, the fight of the week. Every Friday night for you know, during a couple years it went on. And, I mean, the smoke was just, I mean, you could hardly see in there and everything. And the other story is when I joined the Navy, it was 1964, and the flight was delayed between Buffalo, New York, and O'Hare in Chicago. And I was a huge fan of Ollie, you know, Cassius Clay then. And I was dying to find out, you know, who won the fight. Just as soon as I got into O'Hare Airport, I'd never seen a building so big.
Nice.
And everything, and they announced it over the 1NC. And the favorite, my favorite boxing movie was Golden, it was Clint Eastwood and his young girl. I forget what the name of it is now. Million Dollar Babe.
You like that movie?
Oh, I liked it a lot, you know, because I like Clint Eastwood anyways, and he didn't like women.
Here's my problem with Million Dollar Baby, all right? They didn't have to kill her. That movie pissed me off so badly. It was a great movie. Clint Eastwood working with Hilary Swank. Hilary Swank, great actress. She's won a couple of Academy Awards. She won one for that. It really is a very compelling. Then they killed her, okay? And
I didn't like that either.
I thought that was one of the worst plot decisions of any movie I've ever seen. So what's happening is Hilary Swank, underdog female boxer, she finally gets her chance. She's going up against the rough and tumble champion girl, and she's beating her. I don't remember if she wins the fight or not, or she's beating her. But then she turns her back. They put the stool. It's like between rounds, and they put the stool in the corner, and the girl comes up behind Hilary Swank and murders her. Essentially, murders her. Okay, so she knocks Hilary Swank into the stool, and she's paralyzed.
Yeah,
she paralyzes her. I thought, look. I get that you're trying to bring out drama and all that stuff. That was so ridiculously over the top. That was so I've never seen anything like that in any sport ever. So then Hilary Swank is paralyzed, and her family comes to see her in the hospital, and they're just a bunch of degenerate, no good leeches. They're just trying to get her money. And then she asks Clint Eastwood to euthanize her. She asks Clint Eastwood to kind of, you know, put her down, which he does. So, look, it's a very interesting movie. But of all sports movies I've ever seen, really, quite frankly, Dan, that's one of the only movie that I hate the plot twist even more is No Country for Old Men. If you've seen No Country for Old Men, what they do at the end, it's just they just completely do a 180. The only other ending I hate probably as much is Million Dollar Baby. I thought it was so preposterous that they had the girl end up getting paralyzed and dying. That ruined. I've never gone back and watched it again. It just. And sorry to sabotage your story there, but while we're on boxing, that's one thing that continues to bother me about that movie.
No, I agree with 100%. 100%. No, I wish she would have won. She would have won, but the way she died and the way she suffered and things.
Yeah,
like,
very sad. I mean, could they not let her have somewhat of a happy ending like every other person gets in sports movies?
I know. Thanks for taking my call, Corey.
Awesome, Dan. Appreciate it, bud. That's a great story. Appreciate that.
Joey Logano is the 2024 NASCAR Cup Series champion.
We could have called it a rebuilding year. That would have been the loser thing to say. We kept grinding and figuring it out and getting a little bit better and a little bit better and got the All-Star win, which was great, and then able to lock ourselves in the playoffs and then winning the most important races, right? We said it so many times that, you know, winning Vegas, the first race in the round of eight, that's what it's about. You know, that gives you the opportunity to focus in. And, you know, we didn't run good in the last 2 weeks because we didn't focus on them. We didn't even care. And we showed up here and you know, was able to, you know, be fast off the truck, qualify well, you know, lead a lot of laps in the first stage. And we got ourselves back a little bit there further than I wanted to, but able to have a restart at the end that got us back to the lead. And to race Blaney to the end, I mean, that's, for Roger Penske and everyone at Team Penske, I don't think you can draw it up any better. You know, to see a 1-2 finish like that, not only in the race, but in the season, that's pretty remarkable.
If you remember, he was actually eliminated from the playoffs for a few hours until the 48 car failed post-race inspection at Charlotte, putting Joey and the 22 team back in. His stats for the year look like this. Logano racked up 4 wins, just 7 top 5s, 13 top 10s, 3 poles, on his way to grab his 3rd championship. This is the final lap.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild, wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Hank FM.
I'm always just tempted to let this song keep playing because this is fantastic from Tom Petty. Don't come around here no more. 946-0435. Want to talk some boxing? It's been great. Like six calls on boxing. It's great. Who you taking? Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. If you're going to watch a boxing match tonight, stop on by J.M. Boswell first. Get you a good cigar, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. So they're about to close here at 5 o'clock, but you can go to boswellpipes.com. Get your pipes, cigars, tobacco blend, whatever you need. So the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul match is later tonight, and this will surprise some of you. Jake Paul is actually favored over Mike Tyson. So if you want to talk a little boxing, we can. 946-0435. Anything else that you want to discuss as well? We've got Penn State at Purdue tomorrow. That's a nothing game. I've spent no time talking about it this week at all because Purdue is absolutely garbage. And if Penn State loses to that, then James Franklin should be fired right away on the spot and should not be allowed back on the team flight back home. So there's no way that's happening. Purdue is absolutely terrible. Penn State's favored by 4 touchdowns. So just go out there. Take care of business. Stay healthy. Get some younger players, some reps. And then you got a big one next week at Minnesota. Steelers-Ravens, though, baby. Sunday. What a great potential game that could be. Steelers 7-2, Ravens 7-3. If you want to call and give me a prediction on that game, I'd love to take it. I'm going Ravens. Ravens are actually favored by 3 points, which is very unusual because the game is in Pittsburgh. Rarely are the Steelers an underdog at home. You know, even against the Ravens a lot of times, they've been like pick 'em kind of games. But I'm going Ravens there. Steelers have been very impressive, and I think the Steelers are legit. They're not as good as the Chiefs. They're not as good as – I don't think they're as good as the Ravens, but I don't think that there's a whole hell of a lot of separation here between the Steelers and some of these other teams. They'll get to play Kansas City later on. They'll get to play the Eagles later on. The Eagles are having a really good year. They won again last night. Huge game for Saquon Barkley. So the way the Steelers' schedule breaks down second half of the year is very, very difficult. It's going to be awfully challenging. But, hey, you know, that's a good football team now. They've got a quarterback now, and I have a lot of faith in Russell Wilson. All right, before I take a break, I just wanted to mention this here in passing. I saw this earlier today, like on a Facebook page. I'd never heard of this guy's name. This is a baseball story. This is a pitcher named Jim Devlin. If you're interested in baseball at all, just listen to this real quickly. I'd never heard of this guy. Pitched in the late 1800s. All right, so lifetimes ago. And it said, the Facebook page said, he pitched 1,100 innings over 2 years. You heard that right. He pitched 1,100 innings over 2 seasons and then got fed up with it and got caught throwing games and was banished for life. So I'd never heard of this guy. His name's Jim Devlin. And so sometimes you see something on Facebook and you're like, ah, I'll go down the rabbit hole and research it a little bit. So I went back and looked. Okay, you ready for this? This is unbelievable, okay? In 1877, Jim Devlin was the only pitcher on the team for a team called Louisville, the Louisville Grays in 1877. I'm going to blow your mind here. You ready for this? In 1877, the Louisville Grays played 61 games. Okay? In 1877, the Louisville Grays played 61 games. This pitcher, Jim Devlin, threw every single pitch for the team that inning. I can't even say it without laughing. He pitched 61 games, all complete games. He was the only pitcher on the team, and he threw every single pitch for his team for the entire season. Now, there are some crazy things in baseball. I don't know that I've ever heard anything as crazy as that. When we talk baseball nowadays, a lot of times we talk about the, you know, pitch counts and guys don't throw complete games anymore. In 1877, a major league team called the Louisville Grays played 61 games, and every single pitch thrown by that team that year was thrown by this one guy, Jim Devlin. Oh, he pitched even more the year before. He pitched in 68. He threw pitched in 68 games the year before, but he only threw 66 complete games. So a couple games somebody else had to finish. So in 1876, this pitcher, Jim Devlin, threw 622 innings. 622 innings. And then in 1877, he threw 559 innings. Every single inning of every single one of his team's games for that year. I'd never heard of the guy. Occasionally you come upon something on social media like, oh, that's an interesting story. I'd never heard of him. Then that year he got caught throwing games in the playoffs and never played again. He got banished for life. Can you imagine pitching every – you don't even do that in Little League. You don't – like even girls softball doesn't do that. A lot of times girls softball, they've only got one pitcher. Every single inning of every single game for the entire season.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experience with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get that deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
bread and rolls, Pacificos. Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Hank FM.
More Tom Petty. Back-to-back Tom Petty bumpers. Last one was Don't Come Around Here No More. This one's Don't Do Me Like That. 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 All right. We're going to get out of here a minute or so early today. I got to go on a trip here for my kid's basketball game, so I'm going to be running a little bit late, so I'm going to have to get out of here a couple minutes early. Again, we've got Penn State tomorrow at Purdue. We've got the Steelers at home Sunday against the Ravens. Eagles won last night. Real good win for them. Big game for Saquon Barkley. We've got some high school football playoff action for you tonight as well. If you're heading out to watch Hollidaysburg, Penn Cambry, and that BG plays tomorrow. So we've got some district and state playoff games involving teams around the area. So enjoy your football this weekend. Again, I'm intrigued. I've got Netflix. The Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight is on Netflix tonight. If you've got Netflix, it's free. It's free to you don't have to pay anything extra along with your Netflix subscription. If you don't have Netflix, it's probably worth it just for. Oh, you can get a month of subscription for Netflix, like $10, $12 or whatever for the cheap version, maybe $15 or whatever it is. So that's a pretty cool fight incentive to watch. I don't think the fight's going to be like till around midnight or something. That's the one problem. I'm not sure I'm going to stay up till midnight to watch a boxing match, but I'm going to pick Jake Paul. I think all the guy's got to do is kind of avoid Mike Tyson for the first couple of minutes, especially the first round, and then maybe early second. If he just avoids him, then that would be the game plan to wear him down. And, I mean, Jake Paul's not a great fighter. He's 10-1, but we're talking about a 58-year-old guy in Mike Tyson. I think he's doing this for the money because there's no way he's going to get any kind of legacy or anything like that by winning this match against a YouTuber. So, anyway, hey, you know what? I just want to say this was a fun show. It took a little bit of chance doing some different subject today. We ended up getting a whole bunch of phone calls on it. So, thanks to everybody. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.